Dawn Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
I want to take you through as far as with the Trump news. Now, he's in Michigan this evening. And this is important because here's somebody who just Sunday had what I'm going to call is not just the second assassination attempt against former President Donald J. Trump, who's on the campaign trail, but as well, let us not forget what happened July 12th, the day before the top of his ear was fired upon, was shot, and thank God missed his body or his head. But we'll talk about all of this as far as Trump. I want to hear from you, 855-839-1210, the number to call. But now we're hearing that Sarah Huckabee Sanders, who's the current Republican governor of Arkansas, you know who she is. I mean, worked under the Trump administration. She's a proven winner. And in Arkansas, an extremely popular governor. Obviously, you know her dad, Mike Huckabee, who was also an Arkansas governor, minister, and certainly is out on the stump for Trump. But she was the former White House press secretary during the Trump administration, did a great job. Mom of three, wife, recently had survived cancer, thyroid cancer, last fall. So now the Trump campaign has announced they're ramping up the presence of one, Governor Sarah Huckabee Sanders. You know I'm thrilled about it. I love Sarah, but she's going to take a more prominent role as a top surrogate in the coming weeks. So President Trump, she says, is a big fighter, and so she's speaking out about him. But Sanders, as I said, the daughter of former presidential candidate and very popular Arkansas governor, former governor Mike Huckabee, traveling to Ohio yesterday to campaign with Republican Senate candidate Bernie Moreno and meeting with voters there. But she will be in Michigan, Flint, Michigan, for this big Trump town hall event. And from all accounts that I can see, thankfully, the event, the town hall in Michigan, will be an indoor event with heightened security. That's what we're being told. But Governor Sanders is expected to be campaigning right here in Pennsylvania. And as well, not just for Trump, but to help GOP Senate candidate Dave McCormick unseat Democrat incumbent Senator Bob Casey Jr. And that race has very important implications, as you all know, on which party controls the Senate and that race coming up in November. I've talked a lot about that, interviewed McCormick multiple times, but that race is getting closer and closer. And so hopefully I'm talking to my peeps and we're getting, you know, more information as to when Governor Huckabee Sanders is going to be here at one of these Trump Force 47 events or one of the events with Dave McCormick. And so we'll bring that to you and hopefully she can come on in or we can attend the event. Either way we look at it, it's great news. But she has made the statement that our nation is really at a tipping point and pointing out that Kamala Harris is part of the current administration. We can't say that enough, that this is an incumbent who's pretending as if they're all shiny and new and they're not in office. And so she's just peeling away at that and saying, we have to remember this is the incumbent administration and they've had nearly 4 years. Let's look at it. Let's look at their success rate. And then let's compare that to that of the record of one Donald J. Trump. All right. I want to get into it as far as what's going on with the attempt, the second attempt on Trump's life in Florida. So we have the Secret Service acting director, Ron Roe. And I know we talked about it earlier this morning. I just want to give you a little bit of, you know, my angle on all of this as we look at the Palm Beach County Sheriff, Rick Bradshaw. I think he's critical in this because he tips us off to what he's thinking. When he says, when he makes that statement, and I told you this the other day, when he makes the statement that Trump's security detail is lighter, quote, because he is not a sitting president, despite the previous attempt on his life in July, despite the fact that he's also a former president. And that's the difference, right? He's not just somebody he's not John Kerry back in the day. He's not somebody who's running for president who's never been president. And so people keep pointing that out. Trump sent out a statement, as you well know, saying he is safe and well. He has repeatedly praised Secret Service, although I played the statement by Melania Trump, which, albeit, That one was from Saturday, where the former First Lady was very critical about what's going on here and that, you know, she's raising these questions and suspicions. I think she has every right to. We're learning more about the suspect, 58-year-old Ryan Ruth of Hawaii. This guy traveled from, that's a long trip, right, from Hawaii all the way to Florida. And then we've learned that he sat there for 12 hours, and they're getting this from the pings on his cell phone. They're checking everything, cell phone towers, was able to get within between 300 and 500 yards of Trump at that chain link fence on the edge of Trump's golf course. So the question is this guy just lucky? This, think about it. He travels all the way from Hawaii. Now, he's there in the South, and he was originally from part of that region. But still, he travels all that way. First of all, where does he get all this money? We don't see a lot of income. Traveled to Ukraine in the past. Where does he get all this money? Was there, I don't know, maybe recently an influx of cash infused into an account? These are all the questions we want to know. But most importantly, I just don't believe in coincidences ever. There are no coincidences in life. The fact that he knew to be there, the fact that he sat there waiting, that he brought provisions, brought food, brought lunch, and just sat and waited. So how did he know, or what made him believe that Trump would be playing golf? You see what I'm saying? I think this is the question. But it's not one you see in the headlines. So we'll talk more about this. I do want to get your thoughts, but I want to give you two other headlines. The Secret Service launching an investigation into Elon Musk's tweet. Did you see it? Questioning why President Joe Biden and Vice President Kamala Harris are not also being targeted by these assassination attempts. Now, you and I might think differently because clearly Musk is being a provocateur. Clearly, it's rhetorical. And what I think Musk is getting at, and this is, if you've, you know, we've played his audio and we kind of, you know, see how he speaks. I think Musk is raising the rhetorical type question to say, what's different here? That you don't see the media constantly accusing Kamala Harris or Joe Biden of being dangerous to democracy, Satan, the devil, evil, right? Dangerous. We don't see the media ever reporting on the fact that, you know, President Joe Biden, look at his policies. Is he deadly? Is he evil? Is he dangerous? Is he a danger to the country? Now, I would never say that about him. I'm just saying I think his policies suck, quite frankly. And I don't like the direction that this administration currently, I don't like their policies, and I don't like the direction that the country is moving in. And the fact that with a straight face, the Vice President of the United States can say, well, this is what I'm going to do, when in fact she's in office currently, then why didn't you do it yesterday? Why don't you do it today? Push for this right now. Go to work. By the way, how hard does she really work? What about Biden? We saw those statistics that nobody has taken more vacation time than Biden. Remember yesterday when he flew here to Philadelphia to address the HBCU convention this week, he flew from Delaware. So this was, as far as the Elon Musk, why he's being investigated, responding to a post that asked the question, you know, why they want to kill Donald Trump. This was Musk responding. He's obviously a Trump backer, and he's being a provocateur, and he says no one's even trying to assassinate Biden or Kamala. So I believe that he's questioning this, the media coverage, and why. Why is this, that it's only Trump? So the Secret Service has confirmed now that they're aware of the post of Elon Musk, and they have released a statement saying, yes, they are investigating, but I will say they do investigate all threats related to protectees. So, you know, it's you have to remember, you cannot, you have to be very careful. We all have to be careful when you talk about the president of the United States of America or even the vice president. You have to be careful what you put in writing, what you say. And in particular, you know, Elon Musk with a huge amount of followers. Maybe that was, maybe you just have to be careful, right? So the White House has called Elon Musk's rhetoric irresponsible after the owner of X, Tesla, wondered why nobody was trying to assassinate, you know, why only Trump? And maybe that was the way to word it. Why is this only being directed at Trump? Why not other current leaders? That, you know, but to name them by name, you're kind of asking for it. So I'm just saying. As far as Robert F. Kennedy Jr., this one's bizarre. So this is NOAA, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Association, NOAA. They have confirmed they're investigating RFK Jr., who, by the way, the latest is his name will appear on the ballot in Wisconsin. But this is something that has resurfaced of a long ago incident in which RFK Jr. allegedly drove a dead whale's head across state lines. Okay, what is it with this guy? Remember the baby bear story? And he said he found a baby bear on the road and then drove to New York, realized, oh yeah, I found the bear on the road and I was going to put it in my freezer and I was going to eat it. But now, I had an event in New York. Remember this? And left it in the park, in Central Park. It's like bizarre. So in this one, a spokesman for NOAA Fisheries has confirmed telling ABC News that the agency is investigating Kennedy, confirming what the former independent presidential candidate told a crowd in Arizona over the weekend, that indeed he received a letter from NOAA saying that they were investigating him for collecting a whale specimen. This happened decades ago. Are you kidding me? This is weird. But we'll get into it, maybe even, you know, play a little soundbite from him over the weekend so you can hear that. So we'll talk about it. But, you know, here's the thing. As far as what's going on with the Trump investigation, this is concerning to me. Say a prayer for his safety. If you were at the Trump Force 47 event, the latest one where I was last Thursday before the Don Jr. event, but we were all there gathered in Westchester. It was Governor Burgum, and we prayed together, praying for the safety and security of all of our leaders, but in particular, putting in prayer. And I would, you know, when you wake up, when you go to bed, pray for Trump, pray for J.D. Vance, for their families, their safety and security, and as well, pray for those who work for their campaign and supporters. Because apparently it's okay. It's okay to say nasty things and about not just the candidate, but this is personal, but about you, about me, about those who vote a certain way, are who don't vote the who do vote the right way, but to them it's wrong. So they're allowed to make suggestions about us. They're allowed to hate us. Aren't they the dangerous ones? Aren't they the one with not just hate in their hearts, hate in their homes? They put the sign up, hate has no home here. Yeah, they're hateful. And they're coming after you and they're coming after me. We'll talk about all of it. Just your thoughts. 855-839-1210. But I just was looking up the money trail and always looking for new information as we learn more. We're supposed to learn more any day now. Remember, about that wannabe assassin who struck here in Pennsylvania July 13th, killing Corey Comparator, injuring two others, one of them a military veteran, I might add, who's still recovering, David Dutch. But, you know, you think about the day before. So this was July 12th. They didn't tell us on July 12th that they made an arrest. They didn't tell us on July 13th. Seems like it would have been pertinent that they would have told us July 12th. It seems like it would have been pertinent on the 13th while we were all reporting on the assassination attempt of Trump, and thank God he survived. What about July 14th? Did they tell us what happened on the 12th? No. It wasn't until weeks later, we learned July 12th, the day before the first assassination attempt, that there was this other guy who spent a whole lot of time in Iran and apparently, you know, works for this very, has very close ties to Tehran. So he was hired to come here to this country to recruit hitmen to carry out that alleged plot to kill Trump. Now, the way they've worded it is to say, they've worded this very carefully in their word salad. But yes, they finally did admit, yes, that Trump was targeted, but as well, other U.S. leaders that may have included Biden. But then when pressed, yes, it had to do with, the hit on a terrorist leader, Soleimani, right? Who did that hit? It was under the Trump administration, remember? So it turns out that this guy, he was arrested in Houston, right? He flew here from Pakistan, arrested at his home in Houston. Owned a home in Houston. How did this guy had a lot of money, had a lot of cash. Now, they're not talking. Nobody's talking about this guy. We want to know more about this guy. Who is this guy? He was offering thousands of dollars trying to hire hitmen to take out Trump when? In August and September. So if now, where have you heard that reported? Have you heard that reported very much? That this guy was trying to hire hitmen to take out Trump in August or September. Have you heard that? Why not? So I just wonder, you know, with an open border that's been open with, we know, millions of people coming across, as many as possibly 20 million during the Biden-Harris administration. And we know from Chris Wray, the FBI director, that among them, terrorists, who are on the most wanted terrorist list, and that at least 100 of them that we know of are here. So if you got one guy who's offering cash, you know, to take out Trump in August, September, isn't it, I don't know, kind of common sense thinking that maybe, just maybe, before this guy was arrested, and thank God they caught and arrested him for these alleged plots on the 12th, maybe he did reach out to others. Maybe he did pay others. Do we know? We don't know. Still haven't upped the security. Didn't even have a drone up. Didn't have canines around Trump International. Nothing to see here. What is the media busy doing? What are they busy doing again this morning? Well, I'll tell you, right around the corner. I'm Dawn Stensland. We have to be vigilant. We have to watch this, and we have to follow the facts and investigate for ourselves, share the information, but understand that this is real. Donald J. Trump back on the campaign trail today after that latest attempt to assassinate him failed, thank God. And as we learn more about the suspect in the case, and no, the suspect couldn't have followed him because the suspect was waiting in the bushes, waiting for 12 hours with that GoPro, with his lunch, with his rifle. How did he know? Do you believe that he really got lucky? Do you believe it's just a coincidence? I don't. And then we have Sarah Huckabee Sanders, that announcement. She was just on Fox and Friends just this morning making an announcement. She'll be campaigning and stumping with and for Trump, as well as here in Pennsylvania soon. I'll be telling you about that here in Pennsylvania. But let's listen in. I believe Ainsley interviewed her this morning on Fox. This is Governor Sarah Huckabee Sanders.
With Tim Walz, but do you think there is a motivation? Why would they put them together for this first interview?
Of course there's motivation. They know that Kamala Harris can't get through an interview all by herself. There is not a lot of confidence in somebody to become the leader of the free world and ask people to make her president of the United States when she can't even sit down with an interview. And this isn't even a tough interview. This is on CNN. This is one of their media allies. She should take this opportunity to show the American people that she can handle hard questions. It's clear that her own team and her own party think she needs a babysitter. consider, and that's why they're putting her vice presidential nominee on the stage with her so that he can step in and answer questions if things go like the clips we just saw, like she has done in previous interviews.
Some former Democrats are teaming up with Donald Trump. You had Tulsi Gabbard just yesterday or the day before, I think, and then RFK Jr. over the weekend. They're joining his transition team. So why do you think the GOP is appealing to independent voters and to some Democrats?
Well, I think there's a lot of reasons. I think, one, it's because this matchup could not be more stark between the two candidates. Donald Trump has a record of success of leading on things like building a strong American economy, securing our border, helping us have a strong presence on the world stage, while on the other hand, Kamala Harris has been part of an administration of total failure. Look at everything that has happened in the last 4 years. She has to own that. She cannot run away from it. And even prominent Democrats don't have confidence in her ability to lead this country. She was the laughingstock of the Biden administration just a few months ago. And now the hypocrisy is so unbelievable. They want us to believe that they truly think that she can take this job on. I think that the fact that they're not letting her do an interview by herself tells us everything that we need to know.
Amen.
She is not prepared to lead the country. Donald Trump is, because he's shown he can do it. Even prominent voices in the Democrat Party see that, and they're joining the ticket and starting to campaign for him around the country. And I think it's a great thing that he's building this huge coalition that will help push him over the top in November.
So that's Governor Sarah Huckabee Sanders of Arkansas traveling with the Trump campaign, then stumping with him today. That'll be in Flint, Michigan. And we'll let you know when she's coming here to Pennsylvania and hopefully get her on the show for sure. As far as Vice President Kamala Harris, she will be here in Philadelphia today. So just a heads up, if you're traveling to Philadelphia, that's slated for 2 o'clock. This afternoon. So you think about then that she'll be traveling here, the motorcade, the road shutdowns. So between 1 and 2-ish, and then on the out time on the other side, that will translate into the evening rush hour. She'll be interviewed live by members of the National Association of Black Journalists here in Philadelphia, HWHYY. So we'll monitor that very carefully, won't we, and see how she's treated, and then compare and contrast that with the way that the NABJ treated Trump just a few weeks ago. We have been covering the heartbreaking story of our local officer, Officer Jamie Ramone, who lost his battle to survive after being gunned down last June, and his funeral arrangements have been made public. So that will be this week, Wednesday, the viewing, and then this Thursday, as the motorcade will make its way into Philadelphia, the Cathedral Basilica, here early on Thursday morning. That's when that procession begins. So no doubt we'll cover that on Kale and Company and throughout the day, as law enforcement from across the nation will pay respects, because of course we know from the National Police Association and the backing the blue, if you will, and something that's important to us here at Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. But remember to say a prayer for his, all of his coworkers in the 25th district here, as well as his widow, his children. This is a tough time, and especially heading into the holiday season. So we just think of them and hold the Ramone family in our prayers for sure. And that really brings me to something that's near and dear to my heart. A couple of events coming up. But one of them, as you know, I've long been honored to be a member of the Abington PAL Police Athletic League board, and, you know, really involved in this great community. Halloween is coming up this Friday, this month, on Friday, October 25th, Halloween. It's so much fun this year. It's 7 p.m. to 11 p.m., Philmont Country Club. So I hope you come out. We'll talk more about it. And just to get a little help to describe it and talk about PAL and all the positive things that the Police Athletic League does, my longtime friend, Bob Salerno. Hey, Bob. Good morning.
Hey, Dawn. Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great. So take me through, you know.
It's good to talk to you again.
I know. We'll talk on the air, right? So take me through, you know, as far as the PAL program, the Police Athletic League. And, you know, every Friday you're there, you run things as far as, you know, young people coming in, But how did this all begin, especially in Abington locally?
Well, it began 23 years ago, back in July of 2001. And they knew that I was coaching a soccer program. And one of the lieutenants that came down to me and approached me and asked me if I would help them with their police athletic league that they're getting ready to start. And I said, yeah, sure, I'll go down and check it out. And the rest is history. I've been there every weekend for the last 23 years, Friday and Saturday nights, running things, making sure everything runs good. The kids are under control, and they do a great job there. The kids have an awesome time. And I'll tell you, as it went through the years, it just progressed so well. It got better and better and better. And like I said, we're at our best right now. And every time I say that we're at our best, it can't get any better. It does. So it's really an amazing thing. We keep the kids off the streets. And it's just a great program. And the police department is just an awesome, awesome group there. I mean, we have the greatest leadership. And, you know, they care about the community. They care about people. They care about the children. So it's really a great place to be involved with.
Yeah, and I think that it's so important, you know, because in the news, obviously, we talk about what goes wrong with kids. And we don't, you know, focus as much on what goes right. And sometimes for the work you do, and when people support the Police Athletic League, I think that's the difference. And talk about that, if you would, just of being a role model, of giving kids a positive place to go on a Friday or Saturday evening. And especially because, you know, Bob, a lot of times the officers will show up. They'll be in uniform, just have some great interactions. There was one event, I know Chief Pat Malloy was even there. They, you know, had a little basketball, had a little games, which was a lot of fun. But why is that important?
Well, it's very important because, you know, sometimes we have kids that come in, and they, you know, today it's a little bit different. You know, today's system growing up isn't like when we grew up, and sometimes they just need a little extra attention or extra care or just sitting down listening to them. And we were able to set a lot of kids in better directions. Mm-hmm. And I have people who come back, who are kids, they're young adults now. They have children. They come in, they show me their kids. And they said, you know, they thanked me. And they said, you know, you really made a difference. I was heading down in the wrong direction. And you talked me out of drugs. You talked me out of this. And sometimes you really don't realize how much of a meaning you have on these children until they come back and tell you. So some of these kids are in some tough spots, and they get to trust you and appreciate you, and they come to you and they discuss things, and it helps make their lives a little bit better.
So let's, I know we're going to talk about this Sunday's event, but I want to, since we're talking about PAL, highlight the Palloween this year, which is such an awesome event. And this year honoring Sue Hoffman.
Great.
Who does it honor this year?
It does honor Sue Hoffman and Lieutenant Kevin McGee.
Great.
So, I mean, Sue has been putting in so many. She's amazing, her and her husband Ken.
Yeah.
I mean, they put in so many hours voluntarily to make this program work, and with PAL, with the police department. You know, when you have great leadership, it brings in good people who want to help you, and they stick with you. And everybody's appreciated, and it just works out well. But the Palloween event is awesome, as you know. You've mm-hmm. been there, I've been there, we've been to everyone. And it's like Abington's greatest adult costume party. And it gets bigger and bigger every year. But there's so many fun things. I mean, we could go on and on about all the things that'll be there. But we could guarantee them, you know, if they buy tickets, you know, they could come. They will definitely have fun. And, you know,
that's a promise.
I could give out the phone number. Yeah. I mean, they could call. The phone number is 267-536-1083. Or they could visit abingtonpal.org.
And I'll give that out at the end as well. I'll give that out at the end as well. I'll be there. You'll be there. We'll have a ton of people there. It is a blast. Food, wine, beer. So for the $50 ticket price, food, wine, beer, silent and live auctions, which are incredible because people who have like major sporting event tickets donate those. So you get incredible deals on those, and it's a lot of fun. Autographed sports memorabilia, tickets, great seats to the sporting events, the designer handbags. You can do some, you know, gift shopping for the upcoming holidays. But it's, I just cannot say enough. I don't know what I'm going to be, Bob. What are you going to be this year for Halloween?
I'm still deciding. I'm not sure. I usually pick it at the last minute. So as soon as I find out, I will let you know, though.
And by the way, you don't have to dress
up. It'll be great, though.
Yeah, because some years I didn't dress up if I was coming from work or whatever. So you don't have to dress up, but it's fun if you want to. But it's Friday, October 25th, 7 to 11 p.m., and all of the proceeds obviously benefiting Abington Youth. I'll tweet this information out. So I really hope everybody comes.
Right. And it's all,
go ahead.
And it's at Philmont Country Club.
Philmont Country Club, which is Tomlinson Road, Huntington Valley. And the parking lot is newly renovated, because remember last year it was like they were renovating it, but it's all fixed up now. Take me through what you're doing this Sunday. Sorry, go ahead.
Okay, so I got involved with a really great group about a year ago called the Angels in Motion. This group is just, it just amazes me. We do meetings every month, and then we do blessing bags. And we do, there's six or seven snacks go in, juices, and there's a booklet with programs. That all they have to do is call and get these people off the street. They go down to Kensington and other areas, and even in the suburbs, we target to the people who are homeless and on drugs. AIM changes the way those suffering with substance use abuse disorder are treated, one life at a time. And what I mean by that is they go down there, and we hand out these blessing bags. And we get to know these people. It's a tool that we use, and they love them. They're all talking about the blessing bags, the booklet, the inspirational messages in there. And what I see is like, not last meeting. Well, yeah, last meeting was last night. We had a couple, but the month before, we had four ex-addicts. And they spoke, and they told about their, what they've been through and, you know, what they're going through. And they said, if it wasn't for this program, they would have been dead. And now they're back with their families. They're doing great. And they're doing blessing bags to help others. I mean, you know, when you realize that these people are just down on their luck, some people just get down on luck. They just can't get back up. They're not strong enough. And they need people who are strong enough to help them. I mean, they're human beings with feelings, and they've been ignored, you know, for a long time. They've just been disregarded. But, you know, this group takes a step to take up, and the outcome is great. It just changes their lives. Great. We have Mary Lou, who's just awesome, and her husband that are taking care of the part. And there's two of them. You know, there's one in the Northeast, and there's one in Horsham that we do. But we have an upcoming event this Sunday, the 22nd, at the North Penn VFW in Glenside. It's on Jenkintown Road, 2519 Jenkintown Road. And we're going to do a blessing bag. It starts at 11:30 in the morning. Mm-hmm. And we'll be there for about an hour and a half, and we'll be doing blessing bags. And we're bringing it to Glenside. This is over and above what we do every month. But the VFW was nice enough to donate their room to us. And we've had, you know, a little bit of money donated, but we're able to not only use that, but we're putting our own in and just asking people to bring little snacks that are wrapped, like little bags of chips, Capri drinks, you know, maybe wrapped. Rice Krispie treats, peanut butter crackers. That's the stuff that we use. But it really makes a difference, and I'm just amazed with it. And we will also be doing it October 12th at the Powell Center in the gym, which is on Woodland Avenue in Roslyn, a blessing bag event for our Faith in Blue program. Our Faith in Blue program is another amazing thing. It's done throughout the whole country through police departments. It's clergy and police officers together. And I think this one's going to be our best ever, and we're going to have a great group. And there again, our Angels in Motion people will be there, and we're going to be doing blessing bags to take down to these victims and on the streets. And so it's just a great thing. And, you know, we're very proud of our police department for doing this to help people. So, you know, they do more helping people than anything, and it's just a great organization.
Bob Salerno, you're like a saint. You're amazing. You're here, there, and everywhere. I love this guy. Thank you so much for calling in. And I'll tweet out this. I know. See, now I'm embarrassing you because you're such a humble guy, but I have to say it. We'll drop by on this Sunday if people want to drop by, and I'll tweet out the information so you can get that. And then I'll tweet out the Halloween as well. But Bob, my friend, thank you so much for stopping by, giving us this information. And, you know, I always say, geez, you know, I'm reporting on the news and we're talking about so many problems. We need more people like Bob Salerno because you're part of the solution. So thank you, Bob.
Well, I appreciate that, Dawn. Thank you very much. And, you know, thank you for having me on the show.
Of course.
And I'll look forward to seeing everybody there. Yeah. It's just a great thing. It keeps me going.
Bob Salerno, thank you so much. And again, I'll put that information out and I'll keep reminding you as far as Halloween. I'm telling you, it is a blast. And they have music and they have a DJ, one of these like high tech kind of a DJ situation. So, I mean, it's just so much fun. And if music isn't your thing, they have, you know, it's the Country Club, Philmont. So they have different rooms, tons of food. It's amazing. You got to check it out. Did you stay up for the game? I did. I couldn't. And then, so I stayed up. Then I watched the post because I wanted to see what Saquon said or what they all said. And then I couldn't sleep. I was so upset that our Eagles lost. Not that I'm not a sports station, obviously, and I'm not going to talk too much about it. But the problem is the next day, the day after, you're all tired. Everybody's tired and defeated. Henry stayed up and watched. Jimmy,
sadly,
I know Jimmy is feeling wiser today because Jimmy Kelly was wise, went to bed early, like my husband Larry. So a lot of people thought, oh, we got this, we're winning, we're up, and then they went to bed. And then you woke up this morning, you went, what, in less than 2 minutes and 46 seconds, really, in the final moments of the game, we lost this thing? How does this happen?
They went 70 plays and or 70 yards in four plays. Oh, what a disaster.
And so then, you know, I always think to myself, who's in trouble? Who do they throw under the bus? Is Nick Sirianni, because you look at last season and now you look at this, then do they, it's early in the season though. Do they already, yeah. I'm not an expert, do they already start going, who else is available?
Well, I think Nick's seat was a little warm coming into the season, just given how last season ended.
Oh, yeah.
This didn't help his case. I mean, because if you want to go back to something, I mean, in the first quarter, they elected to go for it on 4th-and-3 instead of kicking a field goal. That field goal ended up being the difference in the game. Yeah, they would have won by 2 had the Falcons scored that anyway.
Right.
So, you know, it's little things like that, being too aggressive, kind of coaching with your head cut off, you know. If he keeps doing that and they keep backfiring, the seat's going to keep getting hotter and hotter.
So did you see there were a couple moments where you can see that the NFL, you know, their rules, that they're cracking down on certain things.
Illegal men downfield, yeah. That was prevalent, that they are calling that in these first 2 weeks.
So that's one of them. The other one is when Jalen Hurts, and who I thought did a great job running, you know, he was like, yes, all right, A.J. Brown is on the injury
list. I was
very
glad to see that.
And boom, and he looks fantastic. But then when he got his first touchdown, he spikes the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Is that, because I thought that was over the top.
It's just by the rule of the law.
The
if you spike the ball in the field of play, it's an automatic 5 yards.
But then there was another one that I don't see many people saying this. This was number 5 on the other team, and I forget his name because I don't know the other. I don't care about Atlanta or the Falcons.
The Eagles!
But at one point, so he makes a play, and he's celebrating, and he... It's as
this
if
this is Drake London, yeah.
And he
got the
as if
touchdown.
He has,
yeah, you get them the. They don't appreciate gun violence in the NFL, I guess.
So he does this air movement, whereas it's as if he's like shooting his AR whatever style rifle in the air because he's all excited, or maybe skeet shooting, whatever. Not that that's how you skeet shoot, but they said unlawful. Yeah. What do they call it?
Unsportsmanlike
conduct, because we don't want anybody, even though we know you don't have a firearm right now, you're not allowed to make any reference to any firearms.
Yeah. No, that's not appreciated in the NFL.
So, I mean, they do all kinds of stuff, and they'll make little motions. Can they do the other stuff?
It depends.
Uh-huh. So it's to their discretion.
It really is like a judgment call. I'm sure in the bylaws somewhere it says what you can and can't do. Like, I'm sure depictions of violence is written somewhere in there, or like something obscene, like grabbing your crotch or something like that. You know, those are probably, you know, what they look for. But most celebrations are pretty tame anyway.
But I mean, and afterwards he was interviewed and he said, oh, I won't do that again. And I was overly excited and I shouldn't have made that motion. But really, like, that's really what... I thought that was almost a little over the top.
It almost bailed out the Eagles because the Falcons had a 48-yard extra point attempt. And I was like, oh, man, this could have changed everything. And unfortunately, Young Hui Koo made his kick.
I know. Hui Koo. Yeah, all the kickers did their jobs. Jalen Hurts, even though people are critical of him, I thought he was good. But we need AJ back.
Yeah, no, he's definitely that difference maker on the outside. Because, you know, the Eagles were good, you know, on the scramble plays and the emergency plays. Like, oh, pocket's collapsing. Jalen's got to throw on the run. They were great at that. All these other set plays, wasn't really a whole lot outside of Saquon.
The highlight for me, and this is, believe me, we're not going to talk sports any more than this, but... I will say, I'm trying to find online for Lair Bear for a Christmas gift that green velour, like 1980s tracksuit.
Oh, yeah, the one that Kelsey was wearing?
Yeah. Was awesome, and it looked comfy.
Yes.
Probably expensive, but I'm trying to find it online. I can't find it. And then he did a wardrobe change, and he was adorable. So he was a highlight. And then all the commercials. I love the commercials.
The cereal commercial.
Nick and Greg hate it. My kids and I were like, oh, my God, this is so funny.
The tide will turn. Like, if Nick and Greg are saying that now, it's like, oh, I can't stand these commercials. Yeah. It's only a matter of time for the public opinion sours on the Kelsey brothers.
Not mine.
Not yours. But I'm saying they're going to be in one too many commercials, and then a lot of people are going to be like, ugh, these guys again.
I love it. And I love Kylie. Because Kylie Kelsey is a rock star. Delco girl, she's the best. It's pretty cute.
Oh, she's amazing.
Yeah.
She's so nice. Incredible. I think I walked by her in the garage one day, and I didn't even recognize it was her.
Aw, she's a cutie pie. All right. That's it for sports. It wasn't really sports. It was more I wanted to weave in the thing where he's celebrating and doing like an air.
A little vent session.
You know, as if it's a little vent. But I just thought if he had done anything else, if he'd done like a little dance or something, they would, even though it's the other team, who cares? But the fact that if you even hold your finger like a gun in the NFL and do any celebration, 15 yards, we're going to take away big penalties, blah, blah, blah.
Now, there is an easy way to bring this back to the political issues. You see, it's Donald Trump's fault that the Eagles lost last night's game.
That's what it is. Let's blame Trump.
You even heard Merrill say, I don't believe this. Look at this. I mean, it's all Donald Trump's fault. It's the fault of all these politicians, everybody coming in here and just disrupting everything. Kamala coming in here, Joe Biden coming in here. When will this election finally be over?
855-839-1210. Quick break. Update you on a lot of breaking news and developing stories at the top of the hour.
Dawn Stensland from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.